have the assignment to look at this topic, reaching out for missions. Reaching out for missions. It's a very unpopular area amongst Christians. Very, very unpopular. Just like midweek, it's unpopular. This one is even more unpopular, in quote. Because very few want to be involved in it. Very few don't want to be. In fact, very few people would ever want to be involved in missions. Thank you. We want to look at something that is somehow unpopular, yet it's very popular and it's at the heartbeat of God. Reaching out for missions. Shall we pray? Lord, we thank you this evening. We worship you. Thank you, Lord, because you remain God and God forever. Thank you, Lord, for your eternal plans and purposes for your generation, for that all your creation. We thank you, Lord, our God, because it's not your will that any should perish. You sent your Son to this world to die for our sins, and Lord, you want everybody to be saved. Unfortunately, the enemy has been doing overtime, blindfolding people, and of children, a few have been called, motivated, and mobilized to go to the missions, and the enemy is trying to frustrate them. But Lord, we say tonight, open our eyes to see the things we ought to see, to do the things we ought to do, so that Lord, even in this area of ministry, we will not fail you, that God and our King, you will take all the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I told you we'll be looking at this topic, reaching out for missions. We'll start by looking at the book of Matthew chapter 28 verses 18 to 20. I want to apologize to us that I don't have any prepared this thing for now. I may have something maybe by next week or some other time, because due to some challenges and unforeseen circumstances, I couldn't prepare something written that we could give to you at the end of the service, at the end of the midweek service. But in spite of that, I believe that God will tell us exactly what we want, what He will want us to hear this evening, so that we'll be properly positioned for missions in Jesus' name. So thank you for forgiving me. We have a Christian brother who says, punish me with forgiveness. So I believe you are punishing me with forgiveness. Thank you very much. So Matthew chapter 28 verses 18 to 20. So, and Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. 19. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. 20. Teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Brethren, I want us to read verse 19 together. Let us stand and read verse 19 together. Media, verse 19. Screen for us verse 19 again. Yes. One, go. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Before you sit down, I want to ask you, he said we should go. Was that a command or a plea? A command. A command from the King of Kings. And he says we should go and make disciples of how many people? All nations, brethren. All nations. Nigeria, Benin Republic, Congo, everywhere. Please sit down. This is the assignment God has given to us. And he said, we should go. It's a command. We should go. And there are so many ways of going. We should go and make disciples of all nations. Some weeks back, there was an announcement here that our brother Okpemi was going for some mission or something. For some people, that is like, that's your business. That's your business. That it should be our business. Missions is our business. It's not for some people. Not when the Lord said, go therefore, it's a command. And I'm happy you got it right. It's a command from the Lord that we should go and make disciples, not of some nations. And even within nations, there are nations. I hope we know that. Within the Nigerian nation, there are so many nations. There's the Chekiri nation, there's the Urobo nation, there's the Ndokwa nation. It can't be all. And apart from that, there are nations outside of Nigeria. We are supposed to take this gospel to them. So we should begin to ask ourselves, how far have we gone in obeying this command? When a command is not obeyed, what do we say that person has done? He has disobeyed. Is that not? A command is meant to be obeyed. And once it's not obeyed, means you have disobeyed. And the Bible says that every disobedience is sin. For some of us, we don't know that even not getting involved in what God has committed in their hands, that is sin. As if it is meant for some people. It is for everybody. So brethren, as we look at this in this evening, let us know that it's a command. So we'll start by asking ourselves, what do we mean by Christian mission? What do we mean by mission? Because the what we are looking at this evening is reaching out for missions. So what is Christian mission? Christian mission is an organized effort to spread the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. This chapel can have a mission department or mission arm if they so desire. In fact, for me, the way I will assess any of a church or Christian organization is that to what extent do they invest in missions? If the investment is so low, then I'll rate them low. I don't know whether you are with me. Did you get what I said? That if the investment of any church or group of Christians, organization or ministry, that if their investment into mission is so low, it means that church or something is so low, lowly rated. But for us, we rate churches and their size by the size of their, let's say, what they have in their purse. In that church, their income per month is maybe 20 million. They say maybe so. That one, they are just starting. But if whatever you have, what are you doing with it as it relates to mission? That is the question. I read geography first degree and second degree, although I did education somewhere, master's in education and PhD, but my geography has not left me. And I remember, even the day I was interviewed in 1977, I think August 19 or something, in Abraka here, some big men were interviewing me and they asked me, you say you are coming to teach geography, because I came to teach geography at that time. They say, what's the relationship between you? Because I told them I'm a Christian. Because anywhere I go, I must advertise Jesus. I told them I'm a Christian, I'm born again. They say, huh? This one, you say, after all the questions, they say, okay, so what's the relationship between geography and Christian, this is what you are going to do here. I say plenty. I lost the opportunity. I say the Bible tells me that in the book of Genesis that it was during the time of Peleg that the world divided into two. And in Joker, we talk about, even Joker, talk about Gondwana land, talk about tectonic resistance. So there's answer to everything, even in the Bible. Brethren, use every opportunity that God gives to you to spread the gospel. Anywhere you see me talk about Jesus, he's the owner of my life. Anywhere you see me talk about Jesus, he's the owner of my life. He's the owner, he's the owner, he's the owner of my life. He's the owner, he's the owner, he's the owner of my life. Anywhere you see me talk about Jesus, he's the owner of my soul. Anywhere you see me talk about Jesus, he's the owner of my soul. He's the owner, he's the owner,
in the honor of my soul. In the honor, in the honor, in the honor of my soul.
I brought that because, brethren, that's what we say, we call window 1040. It is geographical. That is why I talked about that geography. And it is the way we talk about, when we talk about missions, we talk about window 1040. That if we had a map of the world here, that if you look at the latitude between 10 to 40 degree latitude, that part of the world across, 97% of them have not reached, they have not been reached with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the population of this part of the world we're talking about is 4.4 billion. I'm not saying million, no. 4.4 billion. What's the population of the world? Does anybody know? It's about 8 billion. And if half of the population of the world have not received the word, they've not heard the word, then what are we doing? It means there's still so much job to do. Yet many of us are so relaxed and we are unconcerned. The Lord will help us in Jesus' name. I want to just let us look at some basis why we must go out. Let's go back to our scripture. Media, let's go back to our scripture in Matthew. Yes. It says, go therefore. That's verse 19. It's a direct instruction from the Lord. Just like other instructions that he has given. But why have we found it so difficult to comply and obey this command? Thank God, about 3-4 weeks ago, 3 Sundays ago, we were able to go out. At least let Abraham know that there's a chapel here, and we took out the gospel. And thank God for our media team that they took they put the whole thing on the net so that it has gone to the entire world. I saw it and it's still there, so that they know that we are committed to taking this gospel out. But much more than that, apart from the group involvement, there's also the need for personal involvement and commitment. We will look at all that shortly, but let's look at some other scriptures. Please, media, let's have this scripture. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. Good. It says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long suffering towards us. I like that. Not willing that any should perish, but how many people should come to the all? But that all should come to repentance. And shortly we will also go and find out how will they come to repentance when we're not doing what we're supposed to be doing. Brethren, you cannot be involved in missions when even within your own small circle, you are not able and you are not bold enough to tell people about the Lord Jesus Christ. I told you that by the grace of God, anywhere I go to, there are some places people are afraid, ashamed to even maybe go to some public places, whereas especially outside the country, some people are ashamed to bend their head to be praying, say, they are praying. They are ashamed. The Lord says, if you are ashamed of him before men, what will happen? He will also be ashamed of you before his Father in heaven. If we deny him here, he will also deny us there. Why should we be ashamed? Some people are so ashamed, they will look at other people around and all that, even in the aircraft and all that. Why? You forget that when you are in that aircraft, you are in the hands of God, anything can happen. Anything. So why can't you pray? 2 Peter 3:9 says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise as some count slackness, but is long suffering. I don't know how to explain long. It is patience times patience times patience. So it's like he just bearing with us. Otherwise, The way we are praying, especially in Nigeria now, the Lord should just be taking away at least about 10,000 every day. You just go out, you see the level of lawlessness amongst Nigerians. Some, there's no, nothing to show that they even go to church, not to think about whether they are Christians. Their lifestyle, the word, the things they say, the way they act, nothing. I heard of a church some time ago where even just people are struggling to be members of the building committee of that church because the church has money. And so they felt that being there, you will make money. Almost fighting to be members of that building committee in one church outside of this place. Brethren, look at God's plan for mankind. Not willing that any, in other words, it's not God's program that anybody should die and go to hell. It's not. Because God did not create man so I can destroy man. He did not. But what is our responsibility? Look at let's look at Romans chapter 10, verses 13 to 15. Romans chapter 10, verses 10 to 15. I'm trying to build a case, as it were, so that we know why we should be involved in missions. Why we should reach out. Look at verse 13, Romans chapter 10. For whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. 14. How then can they call on him that they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? Please, let's take note of that. How can they preach except they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. Let me just dive that for a short while. I don't know. Maybe part of my training and my listening is that because of my social studies and other things, I try to be abreast with whatever is happening all over the world and my country. Yesterday or so, we were told of a young man who went to Pakistan. Pakistan is one of those countries within that 1040 window. You don't go and preach Christianity in Pakistan. He went and risked his life to go and preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. A young man, not an old man, young, a youth. He was moved to go and preach this gospel because in that part of the world there's darkness. It's a pity that we don't have I don't know whether the media will be able to screen for us the map of the world. Is it possible to just see us map of the world so that we can just try and give ourselves an indication as to where we are talking about that it has not been reached? And the two major countries in that window are China and India, and they have more than half of the population of the world. The Middle East is also there. So you can begin to imagine. Yesterday, my wife and I were just watching the news, and we saw something that, posted on the one platform. And one country in the South America, they worship idols. And they say the late Duke of Edinburgh was one of them. In fact, that by their own listing, that he came from the mountains and swam through the Atlantic Ocean and went to the UK. And in other words, since he died, his spirit should also come back. So now they are saying that his son, Prince Charles, should come and replace his father. And they're almost naked. These people, they need the word of God. And there are many like that in the world today. Idolatry. Idolatry is being celebrated and cherished, some with passion. So, good, thank you very much. Oh, thank you. God bless you. Our media team. Good. It's a pity I can't, if I have something, but just if you, good. The 1040, like I said, is most of Asia and part of the goods and part of the Middle East. China, Look at Kazakhstan, Pakistan, all those places, China. They don't know God. They don't know God. And many of them are not even ready to hear anything about the gospel. So that is why we were so challenged and pray for that young man who has gone to Pakistan to pray. It's like he's ready to die. He's ready to hazard his life for the sake of the gospel. Thank you, Media. God bless you. Let's go back to our scripture. Please, let's go back to that Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. Let's go back there. Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. Those three verses we read. 13 to 15. Romans 10. 13 to 15. Romans. Okay. Let me look. Take my Bible. They are having some challenges. Okay, thank you. They come back. Say, for whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. I don't know whether we are aware that even within the Islamic world, some people are giving their life to the Lord Jesus Christ. Some people, even without the preacher. Because God is God. Say, but look at verse 14. How then shall they call on the name of the Lord in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Verse 15 is the heart of the whole thing. Verse 15. And how shall they preach unless they are sent? Brethren, today, there are many people who I will regard as being in the battlefront of this mission work. They have been sent. They responded to the call, both within Nigeria and outside Nigeria. We know of so many, and we partner with so many, because for us, like I told you before, mission is a heartbeat of God. Mission is the opportunity to reach out to the unreached. Mission is an opportunity, an avenue to reach out to the unsaved, so that they can be saved. Because like we've established that it's not the will of God that any should perish. So many have taken to this. Even from Abraka here, many missionaries have emerged. We know of many. There's one of our Christian sons in Abeokuta. Since he graduated, very intelligent young man, he's into missions. Into the rural areas. About 3-4 days in a week, he says in the fields. No comfort. Preaching the gospel. And ready to hazard his life for the sake of the gospel. Because he has responded to that call. And I said before that some churches even have a mission department. Some Christian organizations have mission department where they send out missions. And some organizations are only out for missions, like Capro. We have been partnering with Capro since 1979, till date, both within Nigeria and outside Nigeria. And there are many. And I thank God for the life of the missionaries. It's not because they are never-do-wells. Most of them are very intelligent young men and women. Very, very intelligent. So when people think that people are going to mission because they have nothing else to do, but let them just go, that's a life on a pit of hell. Most missionaries, about 99% of them, are very, very intelligent. And very resourceful. This young man, I'm talking about our son, right there in Ogun State, he's extremely intelligent, so creative, so imaginative. Is it the ones in South Africa? Is it the one in Benin Republic or Togo and all over the world? The ones in Jos, they are very intelligent. See, as a tradition, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace. So, when we see missionaries, we should respect them. We should thank God for their lives. And nothing stops you from being a missionary. You may not be a full-time missionary. You can be a part-time missionary. And we will explain as we get along how you can get involved in mission work. Let's screen for us Isaiah chapter 6 verse 8. Good. Also I heard a voice of the Lord say, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? Then I said, here am I,
send me.
Brethren, can we respond to that type of call? I say, Lord, here am I, send me. I want us to look at a few things as we move on, because we're going to spend some time this evening to pray for missions and mission work. We are really going to pray for them, because many of them, those in the mission field, like I said, they are in the battlefront. The war and the battle they are on, they are exposed to, is even worse than that of Boko Haram. A number of them are not even sure of what they will eat. No salary. This one will nothing like salary. They depend on whatever God's people give to support. I remember one of them sometime ago came to see us in Abraka, that time with the wife. Say some days they just wash their plates and just pray. The entire day, no food. At times they just lick salt. Yet when you see them physically, they are not looking bad. How God is sustaining them, I don't know. May the Lord help his church in Jesus' name. So I want us to look at how we can be involved. How can we be involved? Because that is the heart of the whole thing. Because we're not talking about reaching out to be, how can we be involved? How can I be involved? How can you be involved? How can we? Number one is that we can get practically involved. Like that call and that response in Isaiah chapter 6 verse 8. Say, who will go? Say, here am I, send me. In other words, some have come out and say, I want to go on missions. I want to go on full-time missionary work. Some want to go on part-time, like the one we see at when we go from time to time. That is like part-time missionary work. And that is mission. So, number one is that we must get practically involved. And if the Lord is speaking to you to be a missionary, why should you hold back? For some, they look at, hey, this good job I have, this thing I have, and all that type of thing, how can I leave this? At times, we are excited when God, the way God handles and deals with us. Sometimes we look at our account, it's like it's almost nothing. But we're happy. Because we know where the money is going to. So the next one is that you must be financially committed to missions. You must be ready. Because like I said, most of these missionaries, they are there and they are not even sure of their daily bread. Some are not even sure of their movement. How can they move from one difficult environment to the other if you don't give? And for some of them, their children begin to wonder if our parents are going to, what type of life is this? But we thank God that we interact with quite a number of them. Like there was one we saw in South Africa. We interacted with the South Africa, Capro, the head of Capro in South Africa, and his family. The children, two of them are graduates. One of them even won an award in school. You see, God blesses the righteous. And I make bold to say that they have no source of consistent financial income, but God has been sustaining them. All of them. God has been sustaining them. So when you think you want to hold back, that you will not give, God will provide another source of supply for them. Because it is God's business. So brethren, we can be practically involved, we can be involved financially. Identify some mission fields and mission agencies and see how you can support them. Genuine mission fields and mission agencies and see how you can support them. Number three, be in touch with them so that from time to time you can know how they're faring, what are the challenges, what are things for you to pray about concerning this mission work in that particular field, that particular area. What are the things that are going on, the challenges that they are going through? Like one of those I'm talking about now, the one in Ogun State now, right now, they are they've gone to establish some new fields. So all we need to do is to keep praying, and at times even put a call across. What is the latest and what's the challenge? What can we do? We must be involved in so many ways. So we can pray and we can. So part of it is praying. We must make deliberate and consistent effort at praying. In my own family, my wife and I, since we got married in 1978 till date, no Monday passed without I pray for missions and missionaries. Every M is for missions and missionaries. Monday is M. So every Monday we must pray for missions and missionaries, because there are so many that we partner with. Brethren, make our time to pray for missions and missionaries. They need your prayers. Tonight we will pray for them, and it will not stop here. Because some, their lives are in real danger. Like that young man who has gone to Pakistan, we will pray that God will make a way for him, that his life will not end there. That is part of getting involved. Still getting involved, part of getting involved is that occasionally, like I said before, there could be need for what I will call short-term mission trip. I guess that's the type of where we went for recently. I guess that's what it was. A short-term mission trip. Just a short-term. An occasion, just take up time to go and see what is life like in the mission field. So that you can appreciate and you can, so that your prayer can be better directed. But as we stay in our comfort zone and relax and eat 3 times a day, where some people cannot even eat 3 times in a week, then you will appreciate what they are going through. Just take off time. And occasionally when they organize conferences too, or mission conferences, just attend, make yourself, avail yourself. I don't know how many of us have attended any mission conferences. How many people have attended mission conferences? One, hey, two, hey, two and a half, Abby. Hey! That will show us that there's needs for us to be awake. We shall awaken from our slumber. We shall awaken from our slumber. There are so many mission fields we can go and get involved in. Please, 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 the Lord will help us. And we pardon and forgive our indifference all this while. So, by the grace of God, we have been involved in occasionally, like even when we're in South Africa, we have to attend a mission conference. It's part of it. And because when you go to that country, it's part of all that they have. You see that the level of godlessness is so high. Although we are trying to overtake them in level of godlessness right now. It's unfortunate. But we need to take this gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ to every nook and cranny. And we should be very current as to what is happening mission-wise. I know in the Baptist church we have a mission department. Chapter 19, that is, we have a mission department. Very many, so maybe this chaplain, maybe I have to leave the assignment to you. We should not think of how this chapel can be involved in mission work. How we can get involved in mission work. It's not just sitting down here worshiping every Sunday, celebrating and saying praise the Lord and all that. We should get involved in mission. Occasionally, some couple people come to visit us here. Like Brian Maker was the couple, somebody who staff was around here for some time. Right now, I think it's Brasalem. Is that not? Uh-huh. So there are quite a number. So this chapel should be involved in mission work. We should be involved in mission work. It's like we should have a department, if possible, of missions, so that we can begin to groom people and get involved in mission work. It's very, very important that we do that, so that we will not be seen to have done well in so many areas. But this is one that is at the heartbeat of God that we have left it unattended to. The Lord will help us in Jesus' name. Brethren, I will pause shortly so that, but there are quite a number of prayer points. I don't know when we'll take the prayer points. Will you take it now or later? Uh-huh, very good. Very good. We'll take the prayer points. So, brethren, I want us to stand and take some prayer points for missions and the mission field. There's a song I know many of us don't know it, but I'll just sing it once, twice. And if you, here am I. Let's leave that song. Let's take a there was something that was sent on our platform some days ago about revival fire. I don't know whether we saw it on our service platform. Good. Let us pray. Our first prayer point is that, Lord, plant in us, sensitize us to be more concerned with about missions. That, Lord, motivate us, mobilize us to be involved in mission work. So let us pray. Say, oh, my father, Lord, plant in our hearts a body for missions, a body and a passion for missions. In the name of Jesus, brethren, let us say that prayer point. That the Lord will plant in our hearts a burden, a yearning for missions, for mission work beyond the shores of Africa. Let the Lord plant in our hearts a true burden, a real yearning in our heart for missions. Father, help us, Lord. Help us, Lord our God. We pray in Jesus' name. Brethren, we are still praying about involvement. For some of us, we have been involved, but let us ask God for, Lord, for greater involvement. For greater involvement in missions. A number of us have been involved, but it's so at the peripheral level. Let us ask, Lord, help me to be seriously involved in missions. Let it be greater commitment. Let it be greater commitment. Let it be greater commitment. On my part, on the part of your children, oh God, let it be greater commitment in missions, because this is your heartbeat. And Lord, we pray to respond to your command in the mighty name of Jesus. For we are prayed in Jesus' name. Let us pray for missionaries. Like I said, a number of them are going through very difficult times. Some can hardly eat. Some can hardly send their children to school. Let us pray that the Lord will supply. The Lord will supply their needs. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Let us pray that these missionaries will not regret going into missions. Hey, that the Lord himself will surprise them and meet them at their point of need. That they will know indeed that the Lord called them into this missionary work. That they have no cause to regret. Let us pray that God will supply their needs. Lord, supply the needs of your people who are right there in the front, in the war front as it were, on the fields, every day and night. Some can hardly eat. Lord, some of their lives are even in danger. Father, meet them at their point of need. For we are prayed in Jesus' name. Let us pray for the children of missionaries. That they will not say, hey, God forbid that they should take the career of their parents. Instead, they let the ones who see Sarah and some other place, they are so excited, so involved in the work, so passionate. Let us pray that God will put in their heart a strong passion for mission work. By reason of what they are saying, Father, we pray God tonight. The Lord, oh God, you will meet the needs of the children of missionaries, oh God. Meet their needs, Lord. Meet their needs, my Father. In the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, our Lord and our God. For in Jesus' name we pray. Finally, want to pray that the Lord will also mobilize our Savior's Chapel as a chapel, as a church, to be more involved in mission work. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we pray, God, that you help our Savior's Chapel, Lord, to be more involved in mission work, Lord. Father, help us. Help us, oh God, as a chapel to be more involved in mission work. In the mighty name of Jesus. 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 For we are prayed in Jesus' name. Let us pray for that young man who took the gospel to Pakistan. That the Lord will protect him. The Lord will shield him. The Lord will defend him. And as we pray for him, let us pray for this window 1040. that the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ will spread to every nook and cranny. 4.4 billion people yet to receive the word, that God will do something and these people will receive the word.
Father, we pray, Lord, for your son. Lord, who has taken the world to Pakistan and dangerous life, that God, you will support him, will stand by him, will help him, my Father, in the name of Jesus. And we pray, God, for the window 1040, that God and Father, you will arise, oh God, and cause that your words will penetrate, my Father. Blessed be your name. Hallelujah.
For in Jesus' name we pray. Finally, brethren, let us remember the command that the Lord has given to us in Matthew chapter 28, verse 18-19. Say, go, therefore, brethren, let us ask for the grace to go. For the grace to go. For the grace to support. For the grace to be part of missions. Let us ask for that grace. So that we don't live in disobedience and suffer the consequence of disobedience.
Lord, help me, Lord, to obey this command to go in the name of Jesus. Help me, Lord, to be a generous supporter of missions in the name of Jesus. Thank you, my Father.
And so, Lord, we thank you. We praise you, Lord our God, because it's not your will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. We ask, O God, our King, for a greater global mobilization for missions, starting with our Savior's Chapel. Lord, you will do the extraordinary, that the unreached parts of the world will hear your word and receive your words. And our Father in heaven, on that day, we can rejoice as you begin to put stars on our crowns. Blessed be your name forever. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Before I say one or two things, let me give room for those who may have one concern or the other to raise about our discussion tonight. If you have any question on the subject of mission, we want to take them before I say one or two things I need to say.